holding off of Ryan Amud Bey's 8 lines from the bottom. We were discussing the matter of shchita of broods. We said that broods do require shchita. However, only one siman has to be cut, only unlike by animals, too. The last thing we had was where a Roman official asks Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbi Yechon Zakkai, what were broods created from? And he gives him an answer, and then he gives a different answer to his talmidim. I left out a few words at the end of it. They were actually the Gemara had brought two different versions. Which answer did he give the Roman official versus which one did he give his Talmidim? So one version was that he said that the first answer, which is that the broods are created from mud, and therefore one pasuk speaks of them as being created from the water, and the other one from the land. So Mishum Dechtiv Al Vayitzer, the reason would be because, after all, when it says this pasuk in Bereshis in Perek Beis, when it says that he brought to Adam, that he created all the animals and all the birds and brought them to Adam to name them, and when it says Vayitzer Min Ha'adamah, it's clearly referring to the birds as well. Or because the first pasuk also for Oif Yoif of Al Haaretz means that the birds are flying above the earth, but that they were created from the earth. And Oif Yoif of Al Haaretz doesn't mean they fly above the earth; it means they fly and they were created from this. Okay. So now the Gemara continues on this matter of shchita of birds. The Gemara says, "Amar of Yehuda, Mishum of Yitzchak, Ben Pinchas, Ein shchita la'oif min haTorah." A different view that birds do not require shchita min haTorah in the first place. The whole concept of having to shech birds in order to be able to eat them is only midrabban. So Rashi points out, earlier on the Omud, we had said the pasuk says, "Zos teres abehem of our oif," and that means there's a hekesh between them. That just like a bird. We said that an animal has to be shechted, so does a bird, just like a bird is shechted from the neck, so is an animal, etc. So he says that that so it wouldn't mean that it wouldn't mean that no the bird could be killed however you want, as long as it's something at the neck, in the area of the neck. It doesn't have to be a proper shechter. So that would be what we'd learn from the Hekesh, just that it has to be by the neck, but not that it has to be a proper shchita, according to this opinion. Shenema, the shofach, because the pasuk describes when a person kills a chay or oif for food, the shofach, and he spills out the blood, and he does kisi adam. So the word v'shofach, the shvifa, but al masagi, it sounds like the pasuk is saying all you need to do is just spill the blood somehow or other without actually necessarily a proper shchita. Tosfos points out later in the Masechta, we're going to talk all about Kisi Adam. Here the Gemara is going to be bringing something about it briefly. We do actually learn from something from that word, b'shchicha ba'alma, that it means that suppose the shchita, for whatever reason, was not the kind that would make the bird kosher to eat, as we'll learn later in the Masechta, details about that. Nonetheless, since Ein Mikri is in the day pshuta, the fact is, a pasuk always has its simple meaning, that it means, according to this opinion, that you just need to spill out the blood somehow, you don't need to actually shecht it. The concept of shechting a bird, according to that, would be only drabbanim. Well, the Gemara says, well, by that law, they've been a wild animal also, the pasuk puts them together. He kills a wild animal or bird that's going to be eaten the shofar. So why don't you say that wild animals don't need shittim and atoda either? And the answer is no, because you have a different hekesh that says that wild animals are compared to psulei amukdashim. Namely, you have a couple of places in Parshas A where the Torah tells us that when you have an animal that can't be brought as a korban, then it's compared to tzviva. It's compared to tzviva ha'ayil. You can eat it like a deer or like a gazelle, which has various implications. And halacha, it means that. It means that you can eat it even when you're tamei, just like wild animals can never be kodshim, and then tmeim and tahurim can eat it. So can this, and there's a number of other implications of that hekesh. But therefore, we also see that an psul amukdashin obviously requires shvita because they are domestic animals by definition. So therefore, so is a chaya. The question is oif nami itkish lebehema. Well, but we have a hekesh between birds and domestic animals also. The pasuk that we brought before is those teres abehema v'oif. And the answer is, obviously, b'shofach has domei. Yeah, but you have the word b'shofach has domei, which, according to this opinion, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Pinchas, is telling us that it does not have to be shecht. Okay, well, the question is then, in that case, so we have different Hakeshim over here. Well, my thought is to Shadulay al Oif. So what makes you say that you should apply the word the Shafak Dafka to the bird and say it won't apply to the wild animals because of the other Hekesh, but it will apply to birds? Shadya Chaya, on the contrary, impose it on the Chaya and say that the, in other words, we have three Hakeshim over here. We have a Hekesh between, Not three occasion. We have something where it says the shofach, which is clear that it means there's some kind of creature that you can just spill out the blood rather than doing a proper shvita. It mentions chaya and oif in that pasuk. You're saying chaya not because there's a hekesh that compares chaya to psula amakeshin, and therefore you're saying the fact, and therefore you're saying can't be referring to the chaya by elimination. It has to be referring to the oif. But since we also have a hekesh between an oif and a behemoth, maybe we should say the other way around. Maybe we should say that teaches us birds do need to be shechted in a Torah, wild animals do not. Okay, what about the hekesh between chaya and solano toshin? We'll use that for something else. It's more logical to say that it refers to the bird because that's the last thing it mentioned. Chaya, oif, asher yo'ochel, v'shofach es dos. So the Rishofa, so it mentions in the pasuk first the wild animal, then the bird. So it's more logical to assume that that's what the Torah means to say, therefore, that the Rishofa is referring to the last name, to the last mentioned thing, namely the bird. Okay. So it says, Simon the Snabel Damba Melitta. We're going to have a Simon now for three statements, for three Mishnayas or Brises, from which we're going to ask on this idea that birds do not require shvita min atzeret. And snabel dam b'malika, these are key words from the three brises that the Gemara is going to bring, or mishnayos or brises that the Gemara is going to bring. So the Gemara says, Meisi, the first question is, we learn in a Mishnah, again later on in the Sechta, we're going to have a whole parak on the dinim of kisi adam, the dinim that the Torah tells us that when you shed the domestic, a wild animal or a bird, you have to cover the blood. So the Mishnah says, "Hashoshuk in the snabel of the other." If the person shechted, but it became a nevela during the shechita, he didn't do a proper shechita. One of the five things went wrong, or whatever. Hanuicher, or if he's nuicher, which we talked about earlier in the previous parak, we talked about a few definitions of what nuicher is. It means ripping the animal. Literally, the word nichirai means the nostrils, so it doesn't mean ripping the animal or cutting the animal from the nostrils down to someplace further down on the body, or does it mean ripping out simonim, or whatever it is, actually that's an after more really, but whatever, noicher would be some kind of improper shvita, from the after, or somebody who rips it out. So all of those, potter b'lachasis, in all those cases, he's potter from doing kisi adam, because the pasuk says that he shechts chaya oif, asher ye'ochel, which can be eaten, and here it can't be eaten, because noicher ma'after is not valid for eating. Now, the Amitage Shitaloi is Minatorda. Now, if you're telling me on a Minatorda level, birds don't require Shita, Michiro says, Zuri Shitose. Then what do you mean if he's Noether, then he doesn't have to do Kisi Adam? Noether, by a bird, according to that, would be the equivalent of Shita. And you're perfectly allowed to eat it, Minatorda. Why shouldn't you do Kisi Adam? The answer is Misabak Ba'oif. You're thinking that those words in the Mishnah are referring to both wild animals and birds? No. Bachaya, it's talking specifically about Achaya. Everybody agrees that Achaya has to be shechted minatora. Very well then. The Mishnah is saying when you're shechting Achaya, then you have to be kisei adam. But if it became nevela or noicha or ma'aka or whatever, then you don't. But by a bird, you could argue that it means regardless, as long as you did some way of killing it from the neck, then you would be allowed to, then you would be allowed to eat that bird, and therefore it would require kisei adam. You'd be allowed to eat it on the rice level, and therefore you'd have to do kisei adam. Okay? The Gemara says, Tofma, Ashechet Betzorech Ladam. Suppose a person shechts, the Pashas, again, we're talking about a wild animal or a bird, but he needs the blood itself. So you could argue that he needs the blood, but it happens to do kisei adam, and he's not going to have it. Nevertheless, Chayabal Chases, nevertheless, he still has to do kisei adam. So what should he do if he needs the blood? And what should he do if he needs the blood? He can do nichor, or he can do akira. He can do one of these non-shita ways of killing the thing, and that way he's potter from kisei adam, like we just said. Well, my lab ba'oif, shouldn't we assume that braisa is talking also about shouldn't we assume that Bryce is also talking about whether a wild animal or a bird? So then you're telling me that if he does nuchur ma'akur with a bird, he wants to do kisi adam. In fact, especially a couple of the Rashba and then Tosfos HaRosh point out that the word Neuchadroi, which is Lashon Zachar, would fit better with Oif, which is also Lashon Zachar, rather than Chaya, which is Lashon Nekeva. Anyway, so therefore, so we should assume that it applies to both animals and birds, and specifically birds, we should say. Now, what would you need the blood for? You could say, because, for example, you need the blood of a bird to get rid of moths. It was a known thing in those times, I guess, that the blood of birds repels moths from clothing. So therefore, so you see, so the implication of that price is, you do have to check the bird min ha-tora, and if you do, then you're not going to have the blood available because you need to do kisi adam. So instead, you know you're a master, you won't be able to eat the bird, but you'll have the blood available for your insect repellent. And the answer is liyunicha. It actually says, in the printed Gemara on the side here, it says, it should really be liyunicha, but whatever. And the answer is no, not necessarily. The Braisa can be referring to Bachaya. If you're talking about a wild animal, what would you use the blood for? The Kabbalah, the Gemara, the Lakba. He wants the blood for Lakba, which is like the word lacked in English. It's a type of red dye that they use for leather. So therefore, so you can find a case where, in fact, you do need the blood with a wild animal, and therefore there's no proof that Braisa is talking about birds. Maybe indeed, bird, minatoda, you don't have to shech, and therefore, minatoda, any way you kill it, you would be able to eat it, and you would have to kiss the adam. Okay? The Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring another proof. From a Mishnah that we learned in Zvachim. We learned about over there. We touched on the other day the whole matter that if a person swallows a dead kosher bird, Nivlas Oif Tahar, then it becomes Tomei the moment he swallows it. A dead kosher bird is not Tomei in other ways by touching or tamaying. And we learned about it in Zvachim. We learned in some detail about some of the dealing of that. Now, of course, you have Malika, as we've been learning all along in this Masechta, is not Shita, and ordinarily Malika would make a bird Nevela, and therefore it would be Metamed, but a Kosher Malika, when a bird is being brought as a Korban, then you're allowed to eat it. But now the Mishnah says, Moloch Basakin, that if he did Malika with a knife rather than with a fingernail like he's supposed to, then it's not considered a valid Malika, and it's not considered a valid Shita either, because Shita has to be done from the front of the neck and Malika from the back, and because Malika has to be done by Malika is done by pressing, Shlita is done back and forth. We learned in the previous perek, another point is Chalada, you have the knife is hidden under the spinal cord, whatever the case, so it's not considered a valid Malika or a valid Shlita, so therefore the bird is in the deva. Matama begodim abeis tabliya. Therefore, it's matama the person in his clothing when he swallows it. Now, the Amit and Shchita Lo'if Minatora. Now, if you tell me that a bird does not require Shchita Minatora, Nihi Nami de Ketova Le Shedro Machrepes Adra Trefa, granted, you're going to say that when you start from the back and you start by breaking through the spinal cord and the neck bone, Havila Trefa, it is true that the bird becomes trefa at that point, and it's true you're not allowed to eat it, because even if we're going to say that a bird doesn't require shita min ha-Torah, the concept of trefa obviously applies min ha-Torah. Nevertheless, the knife should be effective enough to make it that it doesn't have chumas nevela. Namely, you have a machlokas there in Zvachim, what happens, for example, you did a proper shchita and the bird turned out to be trefa. Does the shchita take away the tumas nevela or not? Over here we should say that fine, the bird was trefa as a result of having a shedra mafrekas cut before you reach the simanim. And fine, you're doing without Roy Bosler. We learned previously that Rava had said a few dafim ago that when you're doing the Malika, you have to be careful you don't cut through Roy Bosler, the majority of the muscles of the neck over there, because otherwise the bird taka does become the vela before you ever reach the simonim. So fine, at this point you've made the bird shreifa. But nevertheless, since if you're going to say that a brood doesn't require shita, then you should at least say that now the killing that you did, even though it's not a proper shita, takes away the tumor of nevela and makes it that this brood is not metamil. And yet the Braisa is saying that no, that if you did malika with a knife, then it is metamil. Tosfos points out that the fine one of the opinions on this subject in Zvachim says that if the brood turned out to be Terefa, then no, even the Malika won't save it, because the Malika is meant to be to bring it as a kosher korban, and when it's Terefa, you're not going to be able to do that. Fine. The question is primarily a concern of Meir, who says over there that even Malika, you have three way machlokas over there, if the brood is Terefa, which what will be Matahar? A concern of Meir, even according to the mayor, even Malika, according to the Yossi, Malika won't, and then you have Rabbi Yehuda over there about Shchita versus Malika. In any case, the point is, our question would be primarily over here, according to the mayor, that regardless, as long as a proper Shchita was done, then we don't care for that purpose whether the brood is Terefa, and at least it won't be Matami, the person, when he swallows it. But if you say that a brood doesn't require shchita min haTorah, then malika with a knife, which is not a proper malika and not a proper shchita, should have the same effect. And the answer is fine. Uda amaki haitana. You're right. That Mishnah would seem to contradict Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak and Pinchas. However, that opinion that says that a brood doesn't require shchita min haTorah is following a different Tanya. So fine, you have two different Tanoim. They're entitled to argue, and Amoda is entitled to pick one of those Tanoim and follow him. Namely, the Tanya is Rabbi Brisa. Rabbi Lozer Akapa Berebi Omer. Rabbi Lozer Akapa Berebi says, Berebi doesn't mean the son of Rebbe. It means the greatest Talmud Chacham of his generation. Anyway, so he says, when the Pasuk says about Psovar Mokdashin, that just like you eat a gazelle or a deer, the same way you could eat these Psovar Mokdashin. Now, what's the question is, what exactly are we learning from the comparison with Tzviva Isle? In other words, fine, the Pasuk is telling us that a Tomei person can eat from this meat, but then it says that. It says that right there in the Pasuk. It doesn't have to add the words Tzviva Isle. So here you have something. The Pasuk seemingly is coming to tell you a din about Psulah Mokdashin, which you didn't know, and it turns out you actually learned something in the other direction. Namely, Ma Psulah Mokdashin B'Shchita, with Psulah Mokdashin, deem that they're domestic animals, you have to shech them, of course, in order to be able to eat them. So now we can learn, Ask Tzviva Ayo B'Shchita, the same way a deer or a gazelle, if you want to eat them, you have to shech them. And, however, Rabbi Lazar HaKapa says, when it comes to birds, which are not mentioned in that passage, then in fact you don't need to shech them, min haTorah, only min haRabbanan. Okay, so now that Rabbi Lazar HaKapa holds that way, then Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak and Pinchas, can also be holding that way. The fact that we have a Mishnah that says the other way around, that's fine, there's different tenor. Okay, so Gemara says, man Tana de Poligaleh de Rabbi Lazar HaKapa. Okay, well, who is the Tana who argues with Rabbi Lazar HaKapa, who is the author of the Mishnah that we said before about Malika with a knife? The Gemara could answer that it was Bar Kapara. We learned from the previous Amud that Bar Kapara had explained that we learned from the Psukim that a bird needs one simen to be cut. However, Tosfos points out the Gemara would prefer the Gemara is going to answer that it's going to Rebbe, because the Gemara would prefer to attribute a Mishnah to Rebbe, who after all compiled the Mishnayos, rather than Bar Kapara. So the answer is Rebbe. It's the opinion of Rebbe. The Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says that when the Pasuk says v'zavachta ka'asher tzvisicha, when it says that you should shech from your cattle or your sheep as I commanded you. So now it doesn't say anywhere in Torah Shabbat what the details of what Hashem commanded Moshe about shechita. Malamed Shemitzah. So this is one of the places where Torah Shabbat actually refers to Torah Shabbat Peh. Malamed Shemitzah Moshe al havesh v'alakona. It means that Hashem commanded Moshe about cutting the esophagus and cutting the windpipe. V'al roiv echad v'oif al roiv shnayim v'behema. And the fact that you have to cut through at least the majority of one simon by a bird, and the fact that you have to cut through at least the majority of both simonim by an animal. Rashi points out, it doesn't say those details in the Pasuk, but in other words, the point is Hashem taught Moshe all the dinim of shechita. So we see clearly that Rebbe is saying that min haTorah, you have to have roi v'cha ba'oif, so clearly according to him, you have to have shchita of a brood min haTorah, as opposed to the balls are cattle. Tosfos brings, I mentioned yesterday from Bala Turim on the Pasuk, Tosfos brings in a little more detail over here, there's a note on the side that fills in some details in Tosfos, that the word The words kasher tzivisicha are gematria roi vecha ba'oif, roi shnayim ba'behemah. They have to cut through most of one pipe by a bird, most of the two simonim by behemah. Also, the word kasher itself, the aleph of kasher stands for one simon by a bird. The shin stands for shnayim, the two simonim that you have to cut by a behemah. The resh stands for the word ruboi shel echad kamayu. That's for the word ruboi, the majority of it. Like we said, if you cut through the majority, it's considered like the whole thing. And the word kasher itself, taking the letters backwards, stands for rubo shel echad kamayu. The majority of one pipe is like the entire thing. So therefore, so you have right there in the words of the pasuk, you have hints to these basic dinim. But the point is, Rebbe is saying that Hashem taught Moshe all of them as part of Torah Shavah Peh, and the Torah is alluding to them over here. But we see that according to Rebbe, part of that is that birds do require shkita, but they need only one simon to be cut. So, we said in the Mishnah Echad Ba'oif that you have to sheft at least one simon by a bird. So, which simon are we talking about? Ikmar, Rav Nachman, Omar, Oif, Vesh, Oikona. It's either one, whether you cut the windpipe, or whether you cut the esophagus, or whether you cut the windpipe, then it's a valid shkita. Rav Ada Ba'ava, Omar, Vesh, Oikona. On the other hand, Rav Ada Ba'ava says, means davka, if you're going to cut one simon, it has to be the esophagus, not the windpipe. We're going to learn in the next parak, when we talk about Shafis, that the esophagus is considered a more vital organ than the windpipe, in the sense the windpipe can have a hole in it. We touched on this in the previous parak as well. The windpipe can have a hole in it, or be partially cut through or whatever, and the animal is not Shafis. You see, with human beings, after all, sometimes, you know, they have to do a tracheotomy, and they have to make a hole in their neck for them to be able to breathe, and you see, they don't become Shafis thereby, as opposed to the esophagus. Even a little puncture in it is going to be fatal, is going to make the animal a So therefore, Rav Ada Ba'ava says, by the same token, you're going to shaft one simon, it has to be the esophagus. Let's analyze the opinions. Rav Nachman says it can be one or the other, because Echad Katani, because after all, the Mishnah says you just need one. Echad Kol Dehusa, whichever one, as long as it's one. Rav Ada Ba'ava, Omar, Vesh Leikona. On the other hand, when Rav Ada Ba'ava says it has to be the esophagus, not the windpipe, because he says, my echad miyuchad. Because the word echad doesn't mean what, doesn't mean one as one or the other. It means the one which is special and unique among the simonim, again, in the sense that even a small puncture in the esophagus, it will make the animal a tereifa, as opposed to a small puncture in the windpipe will not. Okay. So the Gemara says, Simon Shochat Chatzoyin Gargeras Pnima Dechata Soif. These are key words from each of six Braises and Mishnayas that the Gemara is going to bring as questions on Rav Nachman or on Rav Ada Ba'ava. So, first of all, Mesi, Shochat Chatzavesh Vachkat Nishmata Gargeras. A Braises says, if a person shechted through the esophagus, and then afterwards, before he finished the shita, the gargeris, the windpipe, what nishmita was torn, was dislocated from its place. So the windpipe and the esophagus are both they're in the neck, they're attached by various ligaments and things like that. So here you have, you shechted through one simon, and before you had a chance to continue, the windpipe lost its connection to those ligaments and is hanging loose. So the Braisa has Kshera, then it'll still be potter when we're talking about by a bird over here, because again, all you need is one simon. So in other words, even though the windpipe becoming dislocated will make the bird Tereifa, as we're going to learn in the next parak, but fine, by the time that happened, there was already a Kshera Shita, because you had one simon and that was enough. But on the other hand, Nishmata Gargeras, Ba'akach Shochotas Avesh, but it's the other way around. First, the windpipe was dislocated, and then he shechted the esophagus, Psula. Then it's going to be possible, because then you have it became a Tereifa before you did the Shita. That's one way of looking at it. It became a shita. We talked about it earlier in the previous parak on Daf Tes. There was a Tosfos that brought over there the shita of the Bahag, that it's actually, It's not even Tereifa, it's actually, that's a psul in the shtita itself. There's a halacha l'moshe misina that the simonim have to be in place during the shtita and not dislocated. Because over here it was dislocated before the shtita, so according to Rashi, earlier in the Masechta, it will be Tereifa, and according to the Bahag, it'll be Neveva. whatever the case, the braisa continues, shachat hazavesh, v'nimtzas hagageres shmuta. What happens if he shechted the esophagus, and then he found afterwards, he found that the windpipe was dislocated, v'eni yedein kodim shchita nishmuta im la'acha shchita nishmuta. He doesn't know whether that happened before or after the shchita. So then, well, you say, I have a suffix. What do you do? Zeho yamaisa. Such a case came to the chachamim. V'omnu, kol suffix b'shchita psula. Anytime you have a suffix during the shchita itself, then the animal is possel. Because the Gemara had mentioned earlier in the previous parak, that an animal has a cheskas isser when it's alive, because afterward you can't eat from it because it's eid menachai, and in order to take away that cheskas isser, it has to definitely have undergone a proper shchita. So there's further discussion about that. It's called machzikin me'isur le'isur, because you have first there was one type of isur on the animal eid menachai. Now you want to say there's a different type of isur that it wasn't a proper shchita. Whatever the point is, that the point is, in other words, that so yeah, you have to know for a fact that the shchita was done properly. Now the question on Reb Nachman is. The Braisa had mentioned the cases. He shechted the esophagus, and then the windpipe was dislocated. And we're talking about whether the windpipe was dislocated before or after the shchita of the esophagus, or whether you don't know. Now, the ilu shchita b'gageres lo katani. Now, the Braisa did not mention the case the other way around. What if he shechted the windpipe and then the esophagus got dislocated? The Braisa didn't say any such thing. That seems to imply, like Rav Abba Abba, you must shech the esophagus, the vest. And therefore, the Braisa didn't bother mentioning the case of shechting the windpipe, because in fact, if you shechted only the windpipe, then it wouldn't yet be a crush of the shchita, and then it would be possible if the esophagus got dislocated regardless. So the answer is no, that's not a proof. So then I'll be not like a nothing. The most is that's not a proof. Mishim de gageres avidu l'ishtimuti. It's because the windpipe is more commonly dislocated. It's harder, it's tougher. The esophagus is more like a collapsible tube. It stays collapsed until the animal or the person eats or drinks, and then it widens to allow the food or drink to go through. But it's basically like a collapsible tube, so it tends to stay in place. The windpipe being harder is more likely to get dislocated. So the Braisa mentions that point, even though it is true according to Rav Nachman, the din would be the other way around as well. Okay. The Gemara says Toshna. Fine. Let's bring another proof against Reb Nachman. Another Braisa says Shachat Shnei Chatzois Simonin Ba'oth Psula. If he shechts through exactly half of each of the two simonim by a bird, then it's possible, because, like we said in the mission, you have to have roiv of at least one of them. The ain't sort of lema b'behema. Needless to say, that would be the case by an animal, because an animal to begin with, you have to shecht both simonim. Reb Yehuda Omer, and Reb Yehuda says Ba'oth. Rabbi Yehuda says, by a bird, it's not enough to cut the simonim. You have to cut the vesh, and you also have to cut the viridin. We'll talk about in a minute what the viridin are. There's some kind of blood vessels. So now the Braisa is clearly mentioning only vesh. So again, that would fit according to Rav Abba Abba. It doesn't fit according to Rav Nachman. Why doesn't it mention that he could shech the corner, that he could shech the windpipe as well? And Rashi points out, fine, the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda about needing to cut through the viridian, but they agree with him on the basic point that that's enough to cut one of them, but it mentions after the vesh. And the answer is no. The reason it mentions that, Mishum de vesh samuch le viridian. The reason is because the vesh, the esophagus, is closer to the viridian, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda is mentioning the vesh together with them, because when you're shechting the vesh, if you're shechting and cutting the esophagus first, you're likely to be cutting the viridian as well, because they're right next to it. But that doesn't mean that, in fact, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and according to the Chachamim for that matter, you shouldn't be able to instead only cut the kona, the windpipe. Maybe, in fact, that would be valid too. Now, an interesting point in that regard is when you look at the anatomy of an animal versus a bird, and you have Sfarim, such as Sikha Scholin and Scholin Illuminated, that give pictures of this, it turns out there are a number of different blood vessels in the neck, which could be the viridian. And in fact, it seems to be a machlokas aposkin, and there's a marginal note in Shulchan Aruch that's relevant to this, what exactly viridian are. Does it mean, in particular, does it mean arteries or does it mean veins? For example, the Rambam describes that the viridian pulsate which suggests that there's the arteries, they pulsate together with the heartbeat. On the other hand, there's a parenthetical note printed in the Shulchan Aruch that identifies them as beings. So Sifas Cholin has some discussion about this point that the Or Gemara over here, which refers to Vesh Samos Leveridim, is negated to that because you look at the anatomy of it, which of those sets of blood vessels in the neck. You have two large ones. You have the two jugular veins that are near the surface of that are right below the skin of the neck. But those are not really any closer to the esophagus than they are to the windpipe. So maybe that would imply that those are not the meridian that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about. So maybe it would be more interior blood vessels that aren't, some of which in fact are closer to the vesh, where you have an artery and a vein running parallel to one another. Maybe indeed those are the viridin that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about based on this thing that was saying that the vesh is closer to them. In any case, the point is that there's no proof, the fact that the Braisa doesn't mention anything about cutting the corner, because the Rabbi Yehuda is talking about two structures in the neck that are one right next to the other. The Gemara says Toshma, let's bring another proof, this time against Rabbi Abba Ba'ava. A Braisa says, Shafach Hatsiga Geres, suppose that a person cut through half of the windpipe, the Shah Kadesh Shita Acheres, and he paused long enough that you could have done another Shita, which, as we're going to learn in a few blocks later in this parak, that's Shahia, that's the delay, which is one of the five basic things that fossils the Shita. The Gomra, and then he finished the Shita. Nevertheless, Shitasik Shera, nevertheless, the Shita is kosher because having cut through only half of the windpipe, the Shita is not really considered to have begun yet, because in order for there to be a Shita, you have to cut through the majority of the sim and not just half. Now, my lab, so now on the face of it, isn't the Braisa talking about a brew? Or my gomra, the gargaris. And when it says he finished it, means he finished cutting through the rest of the gargaris, the rest of the windpipe. So you see that cutting the windpipe alone by a brew is enough, not like Rabbi Adabana. But my answer is no, the behema. No, it means it's talking about an animal. My gomra, the shita kula. When it says gomra, it means he completed the entire shita, cutting through the rest of that simen, or at least enough of that simen to reach a majority, plus at least the majority of the other sin. But again, the point would be that having cut through up to half the gargaris is not considered the shita to have begun yet, because again, the gargaris, the windpipe, can have a hole in it that's up to half its circumference, and still and the animal is still kosher. So no proof against Rav Ada Ba'ava from that braisa. The Gemara says that Toshma, let's bring another proof against Rav Ada Ba'ava. Suppose that half of the corner of the windpipe was already torn and broken through, and then he continued cutting even a little bit, the gomrei, and completed thereby the shita, shita sechera. Then it's a kosher the shita, because now he reached roiv, and we don't care that roiv, if it was not done with a process of shita, as long as, we talked about this in the previous parak, as long as at the point of 50% plus, then there was a shita was being done. So my law, both. So again, shouldn't we assume that we're talking about, this is talking about a bull, or my gomrei lekona. The word gomrei would mean that he finished that he finished cutting through the kona, and we see that by a bull just cutting through the kona is enough. And the answer is loy bebehema. Again, this braisa might be talking about an animal, or my gomrei levesh. So the word gomrei would be that he completed the other simon. So he cut through a little bit part of the kona up to half. Was already broken or torn through. Now he cut a little bit more in the corner to reach Ruiz, and then shechted the vesh, and then shechted the windpipe, the esophagus, then we're good. Okay, so again, no proof against Rabbi Ada Ba'ava from this rise. Next, Toshma, let's bring another proof. Ketzed Mokim Chatasa'if, how do you do malika of a chatas ha'oif? Choisach shedra mafrekas v'loy roi basa. You cut through the spinal cord and the mafrekas, the neck bone, without cutting through most of the muscles of the neck, because as you learned previously, adat chafalef, if you do, then you make the good nevela, because before the simonim are in the front of the neck, you're cutting from the back of the neck, so by the time you'd reach the simonim, the bird's already nevela, so you have to be careful not to cut through most of the muscles. Adshimagil aveshter lekona, until he reaches the esophagus or the windpipe, the gil aveshter lekona, once he reaches one or the other of them, place of simen echad, the roi bosa imay, at that point he cuts through that one simen together with most of the muscles. And that's it. He's accomplished what he needs to for the fatness. As we, the pasuk says, by the fatness, the herbs, the lo yavdil. You should not separate the head from the body, which, as we talked about a few days ago, at the end of the previous parak, then you don't cut through both simonim by a chatos. Discussed is it that you can't, it's that you're not allowed to, but whatever the case, you cut through one simon by a chatos oif and you're good. Over ola shnayim, oif shnayim, as opposed to by an ola oif, you do have to cut through both simonim, or at least the majority of them, because the pasuk does say by the brood, as we learned over there on Daf Beis, that the birth of the brood, the head does have to be considered separated from the body, which means they have to cut through both simonim. Now, so here we're saying that it's either the bright side described by Malika over here, that you reach either the vesh or the kana. So this is a clear contradiction. And Rabada Ba'ava says that you daft after something esophagus for it to be a kosher shkita, because here we see by Malika, which the Gemara is assuming for this purpose, as much the same dinim as shkita, you can cut through either one. I mean, once it's two of them, fine. You're right, that's a contradiction on him. Okay. Now we're going to ask my happy Allah, well, what's the bottom line? By a brood, you need to adapt a shech through the esophagus for it to be a kosher shkita, or is it good enough also if you shech through the windpipe? What do you mean, my happy Allah, you ask? What do you mean, what's the bottom line? What's the din about it? You just said, you slugged up Rabbi Abba and said that obviously one or the other is equally good. The answer is Dilma, shiny, awesome. No, because you could say, maybe it's different over there. With Malika, the ikashedro mafrekas, because you're not just cutting through the simonim, one or the other, you're also cutting through the spinal cord and you're cutting through the neck. So either simon, so now having done that, and the brood is almost dead anyway, fine, you haven't cut through roi vosu yet, you haven't reached the point of making it neveva. But nevertheless, you've removed enough of the chayus of the brood that now you cut through one simon, and whichever one, then it's fine even if it's only the windpipe. But when it comes to shkita, where you're not touching the neck bone and you're not touching the spinal cord at all, so we have to ask my. So maybe in fact, what would be the din by shkita? Do we say that it is good enough to do only the esophagus, like Rabbi Nachman says, or do you need daska? Is it good enough to do just the windpipe? Like Rabbi Nachman says, or does it have to be if you're doing one simon by shkita, not by malika, then it has to be adapted in esophagus by Rabbi. So the Gemara says Toshma. So fine, we'll bring a proof from an actual case. There was a duck that was in Rabbi's household. Also, it came one day. They saw the bird. Came in masnis kurei dama. Its neck was dripping with blood. So now there's the concern that something may have happened to the simonim. So there had been an injury in its neck. So now you have to check. Maybe too much of the windpipe had been cut through enough to make it a terefa. Or maybe there was even a small hole in the esophagus, which again would also make it terefa. Now Rashi learns that the concern was not Jerusa. We're going to learn in the next parak when we learn all about terefa. So we're going to talk about the Torah tells us that Ovosav Asada terefa, meat that was torn in the field. That's the classic example of terefa, meaning in other words that a wild animal, a predator, attacked the animal and sank its claws into it, and then we say that the animal is considered Jerusa, and in order for it to be kosher, we have to check it very carefully to make sure that it wasn't poisoned by venom that comes from the animal's claws. We'll talk about in about three, four weeks, Bez Hashem, we'll talk about what kind of poison or venom we're talking about. But anyway, the point is that you have when you have something like that, then you do need to check things and make sure that it didn't get infected from that. Rashi points out this is not the problem over here, because it's equally well possible not all predators will make an animal trefa. As the Gemara talks about, for example, later when we learn about these dinim later on, we'll talk about, for example, a dog does not have that kind of venom in its claws to be able to make its victim automatically trefa. If it rips open a vital organ is one thing, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about just the attack itself may make the animal trefa. With dogs, that won't be the case. One point is, we'll talk about it in more detail over there, Bez Hashem, predators from the cat family in particular have retractable claws, so therefore bacteria and whatnot get trapped under those claws. Dogs don't. In any case, the point is, it actually says that over here, we could just as well assume that it was attacked by a dog, or even that it banged itself on a stick or something, and then injured its neck that way. So we don't need to check for jealousy. We do need to check whether the esophagus was damaged at all, or whether the windpipe was damaged enough to make the animal trip. Charlie Swiss wins some discussion about it. It's not so, but first of all, Charlie Swiss points out, the fact is you have to check it either way. But the point of one thing Charlie Swiss says is if it was a matter of having to check it for Judissa, it wouldn't be enough just to check the neck. You would have to check the entire body cavity of the animal to see whether there's any, effect of the Judissa, of the predator's attack anywhere inside the body cavity of the animal or the bush. Whereas over here, if you're only concerned about that it may have injured itself on a stick or that a dog may have attacked it or whatever, then you just need to check that particular area of the neck. Another Charlie Process points out another nachtamina of it as well, but in a case Process goes on to bring some the revert that actually over here the concern is indeed suffered to yourself. But we're going to discuss over here how you check the simonim to see whether Jerusa happened or not. But the difference is, in other words, that Jerusa sets up an infection, and therefore it's more noticeable than a small hole. And he goes on to explain all Gemara in that. So now again, this bird has an injury in its neck. So you have to check the simonim. According to Rashi, just for any damage to the simonim themselves. According to one possibility, the choice was maybe also to do so. In any case, I wonder about Hayti Nevin. So Rava says, how should we do? What should we do to check this bird and possibly be able to be matched? Nishpate v'hadu nivrikate. Can we just do a regular shita and then we'll check it? We'll check the areas of the neck above and below the cut of the shita and see whether there's any damage over there. Can't. What happens if you accidentally check in the exact place where there was a hole? Now, earlier in the previous parak on Daf Yud Aleph, the Gemara had a whole interesting discussion about chazaka, about the idea that chazaka and roiv are valid on a minat Torah level. And one point is. That comes up over there is with a normal shita, you don't have to be concerned with a normal shita, you don't have to be concerned that the animal or the bird may have had a hole exactly where you shifted because the chazaka is that it doesn't, because roiv the animals do not. But here where the bird does have already what's called a reyesa, we have reason to be concerned that the back door, the blood is just its neck is dripping blood. So therefore there's the concern that we might actually shift in a place where there was a hole and then we're not going to be able to check it. Should we say we have to check it from the outside? Maybe what we do is the muscles and the skin are already torn through. So maybe what we can do is do like a mini operation on there and expose enough of the simonim to be able to see whether there's damage in them while the bird is alive. The problem with that is with the esophagus, you can't validly check it for holes from the outside, only from the inside. Because the problem is that, first of all, you have even a tiny hole, we'll make a trefa. The problem is that the outside layer of the vesh, of the esophagus, is reddish. So therefore, so you're not going to notice. So you might have, there might be a hole over there with a tiny drop of blood in it, and it won't show up well against the red color of it, as opposed to the inside of the esophagus is a mucosal layer, which is white, and that you can more easily check. If there's blood over there, then you'll notice it. So therefore, you can't check the bird. Well, you can't check the bird while it's alive either. So here's also where now does this apply also to Jerusa? This is one of the points that Tosfos brings up over here in the opinion of the Riva, that when we say you can't check the esophagus from the outside, does it refer only when we're concerned about holes, or is it also when we're concerned about Jerusa as well? Because Jerusa causes a reddening over there, an infection, and on the outside you're not going to be able to notice it well enough. Anyway, so what do we do exactly, says Rava, to be able to find out whether this root is still kosher? So Rav Yosef, the son of Rava, tells him, what we should start by doing is like this. We can check the windpipe from the outside, because the windpipe, the whole thing is white or light colored, and therefore we can do that. We can cut through the muscles and the skin enough. I mean, as it is, they're damaged enough. Like, you have a hole over there, but whatever. The point is that... Rashi points out over here anyway, a hole in the corner will make the brood possible only if it's the majority, as we've been saying all along. So it's easy enough to check. Unlike with the vesh, we have to check even for tiny holes. With the corner, with the windpipe, you only have to check for very large. So it's much easier. Another point also is Rashi mentions in the next paragraph. when we talk about scrapers, that again, the windpipe is white on the outside as well, and therefore it's much easier to check if there's blood on it. So we can do that. Then what we do is we check the windpipe alone, and thereby we'll make the brood kosher, because again, by brood, you only need to cut through one siman, and here is the proof that the saying that in fact, the halacha is not like the adab ava, it is in fact kosher to shecht only the kana, because this is what we're going to do. We'll shecht the kana, the lichshrei, that way we'll make a brood kosher. Then what we do is we'll pull out the vesh intact. Then we can turn it inside out and check it. And if there's a hole in it with blood, then we'll be able to see it on the inside, because again, the inside layer is white, and then we'll be able to tell. Omar Rava said, Rava was very impressed by that. Fakting Yosef Li B'Trefus Kirab Yechanan. My son Yosef is as wise in the dinim of Trefus as Rab Yechanan. Later on in the Masechta, we have a story over there where Shmuel sent to Rabbi Yochanan and a whole bunch of Shailas and Hilchos Tzareifus, showing that he recognized how expert Rabbi Yochanan is in that area of halacha. Another point is that so Rava is saying, my son who came up with this idea is as wise in the dinim of Tzareifus as Rabbi Yochanan is in those dinim. Rashi's second explanation is that he's saying he's as wise in Tzareifus as Rabbi Yochanan is in Kola Torah Kola. Anyway, the point is, Alma Echad Dekamar, so we see that when we check one simon by a bird, Oihai, it's either one or the other, because that's Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Rava's advice, is that in fact we can check only the Kana, and then we can do the rest of the checking that way. So good. So that shows that like the halacha is definitely like Rabbi Nachman, that not only we slugged up Rabbi Adaba Ava before from the case of Malika, but it's not even that we can then say maybe there's a distinction between Malika and Shchita. In fact, by both of them, it would be kosher to cut through either one simon or the other, and it doesn't matter which. Next, the Mishnah had said Rabbi Yehuda Imad Shlishlek. Rabbi Yehuda had said it's not just enough to cut through the one simon or both simonim. You also have to cut the viridin, whereas we talked about before what viridin are exactly, whether they're veins or arteries or maybe both. Now Rav Chista says Rabbi Yehuda is talking about that. They have to cut the viridim only by a bird. Because birds are often roasted whole, so you need to make sure to remove. Or to remove all the blood. Meaning, in other words, the idea is roasting itself will remove the blood, as we're going to learn in detail later in the Masechta. However, that's only blood that's in the muscles and the capillaries and whatever. With it's a tiny amount, so therefore the heat of the roasting will draw it out. But here you're talking about a large vein artery which is full of blood. And if you don't cut it, the blood won't drain out, and the roasting won't take care of it either. In fact, there are Rishonim will talk about that if you're actually going to be cooking the brood, then it's not just enough to cut the viridin, you have to actually cut it up into pieces, and then you have to salt it everywhere, and so on and so forth. So the point is, only by broods do we have this issue. So you have to cut the viridin to make sure that as much as possible of the blood comes out. Aval behema, kibin de menachta ever ever. But an animal you normally cut up into pieces anyway before you roast it or cook it. Like Sarah, so even Rabbi Yehuda would not say you have to cut the viridin. It's fine to distract the simonim. And then later on when you cut it up, whether you cook it, whether you salt it for cooking or whether you roast it, either way that'll get out of the blood. Okay, so Moses, remember the time of the Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Dambu. So you're telling me Rabbi Yehuda's reason why he says you have to cut the viridin is because of the blood. That's not, in other words, the point of Rabbi Yehuda, it's not an actual part of the shchita per se. Yeah. Sounds like a point of Rabbi Yehuda. It's not part of the shchita per se. It's if there's a side thing you need to make sure to drain out all the blood. Is that so? The Mishnah says that he has to shecht the viridin, which implies shchita. In other words, if it was a matter of that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it says as a practical matter, you need to get the blood out of the viridin. You don't have to use a shecht. You can just pierce them. And the answer is fine. Ema actually didn't give us a viridin. Fine. Rabbi Yehuda does mean that. It's enough to pierce them and get the blood out that way. What does it mean until you shech? This means actually you didn't give the shas shchita. It means he gavgas to pierce them at the time of the shchita, not later on, as the Gemara will soon explain why. Okay. So it must have touched my religion beshitted the very good. A Bryce says, Rabbi Huda says the religion, you have to shrek, implying that it's a prize of shitta. That's actually according to him. That's part of the process of shitta. And the answer is the same thing. Aim of religion, serve the nakbun, which has shitta, do Rabbi Huda. That again, Rabbi Huda would say you have to pierce them shortly after the shitta. Do Rabbi Huda. It's the same thing. That's Tashma, we'll bring another proof. We'll bring another proof. The other Chachamim say to Rabbi Huda, given that the whole reason religion are mentioned is because of the matter of the blood, because the chayus of the animal or the bird does not depend on those religion, so you're only mentioning them. Mali the shkita, mali shalai the shkita, then who cares whether you do them during the shkita or not? Now, mitzvah Rabbi Huda sub of a shkita. It sounds like Rabbi Huda is saying that it means that it has to be done down to a shkita. According to the Chachamim, they're saying as a practical matter, you can do anything you want to remove the blood from them. But according to Rabbi Huda, it sounds like you have to shech them, meaning that according to him, the Rabbi Huda is part of the actual process of shkita. So the answer is Pachikamila. It means the Chachamim are telling Rabbi Huda as follows. So the Chachamila, how goes the Bach says, we need to late. They say to him, fine, we agree that you have to pierce them in order to get the blood out, but who cares whether you do it at the time of the shkita or not? And you seem to be insisting that it's done at the time of shkita. So in other words, nobody says that you have to actually check them as part of the dinim of shkita. All we're saying is that if you hold saying you have to pierce them, fine, actually maybe the Chachamim are not saying you have to pierce them, but they're saying even you who hold that you have to do something to get the blood out, why Dr. Shechton? But they're saying, why Dr. Shechting? We know that you don't mean that you have to shech them, just that you have to pierce them, but why do you have to do that at the time of shit? Well, who's sober? So the answer is, because during the shchita, blood will easily flow out of the veridin when you pierce them, because the blood is still warm. Shalai b'shas shchita, like osi dam. But if you do it after the shchita, the blood won't flow out as easily to kara, because it cooled off from the animal's body heat. Therefore, again, as a practical matter, you want to make sure that this process gets out as much of the blood as possible, then you want to make sure to do it at the time of the shchita, or very shortly afterwards, it can be teretz habayis from the Rash, but points out it can be at least as long as the bird is still flapping around, as it often does convulsively after the shkita. So the point is that clearly once we understand that, Rabbi Huda is actually not saying that it's part of the shkita process, but rather that it's just as a practical matter, you need to get the blood out again, because by birds they're often roasted whole, and therefore you have to make sure to cut these blood vessels, but not that you have to actually shech them as part of the dinim of shkita. Okay. The Gemara continues. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiya, the vidin Rabbi Huda, shoha behen, v'doras shohas. The reason that Rabbi Huda, Shah Behan, Doras Behan Mahu, what would happen according to Rabbi Huda? If we're saying he has to break through the forbidden, what happens if he did Shahiyah in them, which is one of those things, that possible Shrita, or Doras Behan, or what if he pressed the knife against them? These are things that would possible the Shrita, but in other words, does Rabbi Huda? So Rabbi Huda, so Rashi explains, Rabbi Yirmiyah had not heard what we just said in the Gemara, that in fact, that Rav Chista's explanation that Rabbi Huda is requiring you to do something with the Viridin only because of blood, Rabbi Yirmiyah thought that Rabbi Yirmiyah understood Rabbi Huda to be saying it's actually part of the process of Shrita, but maybe Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying maybe the whole concept of Shahiyah and Dirasa and the rest of the Psalim applies only to the two Simonim themselves, not to these blood vessels. So an elder Talmud Chacham told him, and Tosfos mentions elsewhere that some say that Ahu Sava in the Gemara is Eliyahu Anavi. Anyway, he told him, so he tells him, this is what Rabbi Elazar said, or another version is he tells that his Rabbi Elazar asked the question, and he tells him, this is what Rabbi Yochanan said, it's not necessary, menachem v'chotzvein v'hen tshirin. All you need to do is pierce them, even for example, with a thorn or anything sharp, and they'll be kosher. So obviously, that doesn't require shkita. So therefore, of course, shihiyah and jirasa wouldn't be a problem. And then most of the time, so like Rav Chista said, that's not a matter of shkita; it's a matter of draining the blood from it. And the Gemara Tanya Kavu say the Rav Chista. In fact, we learn a brayso like the way Rav Chista says it. Shachat shnei chatzos simonim bar is possible. If he cuts through only two halves of the simonim by a bird, it's possible because you have to have a roiv of at least one of them. The ain sarach lemer behema. Needless to say, by an animal, if you shech through only half of each simon, it's possible. Rabbi Yehuda Omer bar oifan shiush chatzos avet. Rabbi Yehuda says by a bird, you have to shech the esophagus and the viridin, and you said on a marala, so according to the halacha, it would be fine to shech the kona, the windpipe as well, but as a practical matter, the vesh is closer to the viridin. In any case, Rabbi Huda says that by a bird, you have to shech the vesh and the viridin, but you see clearly, Rabbi Huda is saying that only by a bird. Now, if it was a matter of the jinnim of shchita, it would be required equally well by an animal as well, the fact that, the fact that he says specifically by a bird is for the reason Rav Chista said, because birds are often roasted whole.